All right, Admin Mastermind and Teach Better family, welcome back, and so excited to see you this week. Katie Miglin, as well, you weren't there for me the last couple of weeks, and so to see you, to have your voice a part of the conversation was wonderful. So thank you so much for joining me, both for the recap and for the session.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a good time.
So I started things off asking if people were on a scale of running smoothly, running steady, or running for the hills, where would they rate their stress level? It sounded like a lot of people were stressed.
Yeah, there was a lot of hill running for sure.
A lot of hills. Yes. So I was kind of feeling that because I know at our house it was that way. Every educator that I've talked to lately has been very stressed. Yes. And I know that's kind of been the same for you.
Yeah, it just feels like, you know, I saw something the other day that was like, they called it Maycember, and it's like as busy as December. And I know you and I talked, it just feels like this time of year is just really, really busy. I don't know why it feels bigger this year than other years. Yeah. And, you know, I know I've said it on the Teach Better Today morning show multiple times, but it's all great stuff. I don't want anyone to be like, you know, these award ceremonies or these end of year activities are negative. They're not. It's so fun. It's just another thing on the calendar. So it's taking time, energy, a lot of planning. And so it's totally makes sense that people are just becoming exhausted, even if they're celebrating students and all the fabulous work that's being done.
Yeah. No, and I'm feeling that as a parent on the other side is, you know, I have a million kids and that means a million events. And so, you know, just looking to at the teachers, at the admin of the schools that my kids go to, you can just see that they're worn down. They're ready for the end of the year because they're spending many, many hours at the campus. So let's transition to what the bigger conversation was, which you had posed this topic, which was, you know, at the end of the school year, students tend to have some large behaviors and we don't have a whole lot of time left. So, you know, we gauge kind of where folks were within the end of the year, and it seemed like it was anywhere from 7 to 14 days of time left for our various administrators. And that, you know, what do you do when there's a fight or something that's bigger? And a lot of them were saying like, yeah, they do need to go home and their year is done. But what were some other things, Katie, were discussed in regards to large behaviors at the end of the year?
Well, yeah, we kind of just talked about like the issue that comes in with like sending a student home or when there's the non-negotiables. We kind of talked about like the difference in behaviors specifically. You know, if it's a really big behavior, you're really, like you had said, your hands are kind of tied. There's only so much you can really control. But there are lots of ways that we can keep students in the classrooms or in school, you know, limited privileges. So we talked about, you know, they go on the field trip, but they have to stay with a chaperone or their parent has to attend. They can, you know, maybe do half of the activity. So they can go do this part of it, but then they have to go back to the office afterwards, or they get to watch the, you know, award ceremony or concert, but then they've got to sit in the office and just kind of any of those things. And I know I'm a big advocate for like really being mindful that some students just are looking to build those last minute relationships, and some of our toughest kids are going to act out in a different way because they're really struggling with the transition of going home for the summer, you know, whether for whatever reason. And so we just kind of talked through like, how do we help students manage their behavior and be proactive? And some people talked about, you know, having quality subs or making sure teachers have structures in place these last 3-4, you know, weeks, whatever you have left. And just so that students have every opportunity to be successful, because we know some of them are going to struggle no matter what we do. So it's just ensuring that they have every support they need so that they can end on a good note. Because what we don't want is a student to like end the year on a negative note when maybe that is like they're a student that really needed those relationships and those positive events.
Yeah. And we wanted to definitely have the conversation be about control that we had, because obviously there's a lot of things we can't control with students, with staff, with the campus, but we then turn to proactive steps, right? So as a leader, what can we do to ensure a smooth end of the year process transition for our students? And I thought that was where the conversation really turned to, you know, some really good strategies that folks were trying to implement. So what stood out to you, Katie, in regards to the proactive steps?
being consistent, being, you know, communicating everything. So communicating to parents, to students, what the expectations are. We talked a lot about if students, if they have some sort of contract or there's something that's kind of hanging over their head, prom, field trips, end of year activities, making sure students and parents know what the expectations are so that they can ensure their participation in those events, and communicating multiple times, not just once, or, you know, not just in writing, but making sure that they know that consistently. But then also just having more staff present, which I know that, you know, that opened up a whole nother can of worms of staff being absent. I get that, yes. But just communicating to staff of, we need people in the hallways. We need people to look for, you know, stairwells or places that students might feel like the, you know, they can push the boundaries a little bit. So just being mindful of, like, how are we really encouraging students to have positive behavior and maintaining those expectations? And it can start by just simply being present and, you know, having conversations. You're not standing in the hall necessarily yelling at a kid, but just stand in the hall and make conversations with kids as they walk by can make a big difference on their behavior. So, Josh, what were some things that kind of stood out to you?
Well, I thought the incentive programs that people were talking about were wonderful. As far as, you know, they had talked about like these gold cards that they had for students. Mm-hmm. And if you had a gold card, then you got to participate in various different activities at the end of the school year, and how the frequent flyers that they saw in the front office, they didn't see them for the last month, and how crazy that was, that they had something to look forward to, but then also be able to participate with their friends. And I think there is ways to find motivators for kids to participate, but then also just the communication in that, right? Communicating to the parents, communicating to the students constantly. I know the conversation was talking about with communication that, you know, our teenage brains are very similar to a toddler or a 2-year-old. Yeah. And I have seen research that says that, and, you know, it's not that they're trying to forget, but, you know, because it's growing at a rapid pace, that's a lot of times you have to communicate. And on our campus, we always said, if you didn't say it sometimes, they didn't hear it. Right. And that was kind of a joke, but it was also, there's some truth and science in that, that the idea was that you just need to consistently and constantly communicate the same thing over and over. The more you do so, the more likely they're going to do it. So the incentive programs, you know, someone had said like the best offense is the best defense. And I think that's kind of that mind frame that we all need to have. The other thing was, you know, supervision or lack thereof was just that a lot of it comes down to motivation, right? And so as a leader, we need to kind of figure out how we're going to tap into that motivation to make sure our staff is present. Because like you said, it's not that they're there to yell at people and to give out detentions and all this. It's just to be present and be there. And I can think of so many times that I didn't have to say a word just because I was there, a kid stopped running or a kid wound up to hit another kid and saw I was there and then chose not to, you know, you don't have to say anything. It could just be a look. So, just being present throughout the building, outside the building, you know, before and after school, was huge for us. Which then turned into a conversation about the challenges, with the lack of staff at the end of the year. So with that stress level, I think a lot of people are taking mental health days, nothing wrong with that. It's just when, you know, 30 of your staff members decide to do it all on the same day. So,
well, and honestly, Josh, to that point though, you know, I was thinking we had started the whole segment conversation with saying how there's so much on our plates. We've got so much going on, so many activities, field trips, picnics, all the things. Mm-hmm. But then we ended by saying teachers are taking the day off for mental health or whatever. But I'm like, well, I went on a field trip with 30 parents last week. Some parents might just be taking time off to spend it with their own children, doing their own thing. So, you know, we have to be mindful that people take time off for whatever reason. And we're not talking about the people who obviously it's an issue and that requires conversation. Correct. It's just sometimes a bad time of year. It's just busy. Some people are tapped out. Some people, you know, some places we know they don't get to bank their personal days or, you know, so it's kind of using those up. I know I've talked to a few educators who are like, if I don't use it, I'm going to lose it. So I totally understand that. But yeah, it's like, what do we do then? What can we control and how can we support the students who are in the classrooms, especially when a teacher is not there?
Right. So that goes to the sub.
Yep.
Problems.
Well, so part of the conversation we had was, when there is, you know, we have teacher shortage and we're scraping the bottom of the barrel for subs. And sometimes that means that we don't always get the quality subs. I know in Illinois, you can only sub so many days. And, you know, so sometimes that's like can impact people's ability to be in the classrooms. Right. So then we kind of talked as an administrator, what are some things you can do to ensure that even if it's not a great sub, how can that those classes still be covered and there can still be success? And we talked about, can you provide teachers a checklist of these are the three things I need in your subfolder all year long, especially in May? Or can you, you know, make sure that teams or groups of teachers are checking on each other? Such and such has the flu. They weren't able to put anything together. Can someone grab something to put in this class so that we can help? I know I was lucky enough. I worked in the building that they would print our roster if we were ill and couldn't print it or get it on our desk in time. Yep. So any of those things, just to set the sub up for success, because we know that not all of them have the education background and sometimes are just there to be a warm body. But we don't want student behavior to be impacted by that, because we know when kids are, know that there's not a whole lot of expectations, they're more likely to kind of have a little bit more freedom in a classroom. And sometimes that's where we see some issues. So Josh, was there anything that you guys did kind of on your campus that really helped with that? Because I'm sure you face the same issues.
Oh my goodness, yes. So I shared this with the group, was just that we wanted to make sure that our campus was the one that everyone wanted to come back to if you were a quality sub. Let me preface that. So, you know, we had a list of like 20, 25 folks that we really try to pour into and let them understand, like, we value, you know, if we had any type of, you know, teacher appreciation, our subs were a part of that, right? Or if we were going around with a goodie cart, like, we made sure that our subs got those too, you know? So we wanted them to feel like they were a part of that campus family, that culture, at least, that we were trying to provide. And so, and I even said, like, a couple of our teachers, our subs, were in our yearbook because they were on our campus so much that they did feel like a part of our staff, because we leaned on them so heavily. And that was just something that, you know, even though they weren't technically under contract as a teacher, they still were a part of that, that teacher family. So, you know, for us, it was something that we wanted to pour into them because we did value them. They're important to us. And then we also always made sure that, you know, they're the first ones that we called, because we've had some just horror stories of people that we didn't know, that didn't know our campus, our community, our student body. And we had some really negative things occur. So the other thing I thought was great too, was, you know, like having those checkpoints. Someone had talked about like literally tying those into the calendar, because you do have emergencies, right? We've all had this happen. It's 2 a.m. and you get sick and you have to call in, and it's not that you were planning on being gone, but you need that emergency sub plan already in the folder. And so if you don't build that in as far as an administrator into your time for your teachers, then a lot of times that just falls to the wayside. So we had to, you know, have those throughout the school year, but then also to have some accountability in that of like, I need to see it. You know, you had talked about a checklist. We had a checklist in there of all the things that needed to be in that folder for the subs. And just making it a point of emphasis, because if it's important to us as an admin, then it should be important to the teachers, because we all know it's a nightmare if those sub plans don't exist. I myself had to cover classes all the time. And if I didn't have sub plans, that was extremely frustrating. So I know firsthand what that would be like. So I don't want that to happen to my subs, because, you know, you come in, you're already kind of stressed. You don't know the room. You don't know the kids. You may not know the campus. And then not to have any plans, then you're like, now what? What am I going to do for the next 45 minutes?
Well, and we know sometimes those subs come in last minute. So, you know, I know our secretary worked really hard at always calling and trying to get people in, but they might roll in right as the class is starting. And so they don't have time to come up with something or to look for something. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's easy ways that you can check in with teachers, you know, build it into institute days, maybe during evaluation, like, hey, can you show me your emergency sub plans? Because we all know that there are teachers who have a friend they can call and say, hey, I'm not going to make it. I've got, you know, can you print this off for me or can you grab something? But there are a lot of teachers in a lot of our buildings that don't have someone they feel like they can call. And so helping them and giving them the tools that they need so that those plans are successful can help honestly in December and in May, because we know that there's multiple times throughout the year that subs are more prevalent in our buildings. Yes. So just helping them, but ultimately will help our school and our students, especially when it comes to these transition times of the year where behaviors might be a little bit higher.
Yep. All right. So just wanted to mention for those who are watching on YouTube, maybe this is the first time that you've even realized that the Teach Better team has an administrative mastermind. So you can join us every Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And you can go over to teachbetter.com/mastermind. It is free. And then you get your link sent to you that you can save. And then, of course, you'll get also a link for our Facebook group for the admin mastermind. So it's a growing community. Love the conversations in there. And then just to let everyone know that we are actually going to take a summer break because we know a lot of you are traveling, going to conferences, doing a variety of different things. So we are going to have our last session May 28th, and then we'll kick back up the first week of August. And of course, we'll be blasting that out. So if you want to make sure that you get that information, of course, again, head over to teachbetter.com/mastermind, sign up, and then you'll get communication on when next year will kick off. So super excited about that. So
also, if you are an administrator and you are looking for some free PD for yourself or your admin team, and you have an idea that you would love for us to kind of dive into, we are taking any and all suggestions right now for a summer live series. We want it to be beneficial and helpful to you. So if you are like, man, I really wish they would discuss this topic, shoot us an email or DM us and let us know what are some topics that we can cover. We would love to give you a free summer series specifically for admin. So we're looking forward to kind of deciding on what a topic could be. But if you've got something, shoot it our way.
Wow. Love it. We got a lot going on. So with that, Katie, thank you so much for joining the Mastermind Recap and the conversation this morning.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Thanks, guys.